sobering commentary on the perceived worth of the book. She said, "You know, Robert, your book Influence is so famous in Poland, my students think you're dead." On the other hand, in keeping with a quote my Sicilian grandfather favored, "If you want things to stay as they are, things will have to change," there was a case to be made for timely upgrades. It has been some time since Influence was last published, and in the interim, changes have occurred that deserve a place in this new edition. First, we now know more than we did before about the influence process. The study of persuasion, compliance, and change has advanced, and the material that follows has been adapted to reflect that progress. In addition to an overall update of the material, I've devoted more attention to updated coverage of the role of influence in everyday human interaction, how the influence process works in real-world settings rather than in laboratory contexts. Relatedly, I've also expanded a feature that was stimulated by the responses of prior readers. This feature highlights the experiences of individuals who have read Influence, recognized how one of the principles worked on or for them in a particular instance, and wrote to me describing the event. Their descriptions, which appear in the reader's reports of each chapter, illustrate how easily and frequently we can fall victim to the influence process in our daily lives. There are now many new first-hand accounts of how the book's principles apply to commonplace, professional, and personal situations. I wish to thank the individuals who contributed the readers' reports used in past editions. I would also like to invite readers to contribute similar reports for possible publication in a future edition. They can be sent to me at readersreports@influenceatwork.com. Finally, more influence-related information can be obtained at www.influenceatwork.com. Besides the changes in this edition that are updated extensions of previously existing features of the book, three elements appear for the first time. One explores internet-based applications of proven social influence tactics. It's clear that social media and e-commerce sites have embraced the lessons of persuasion science. Accordingly, each chapter now includes, in specially created e-boxes, illustrations of how this migration into current technologies has been accomplished. The second novel feature is the enhanced use of endnotes, which you can find in the enhancement. As the place where readers can find citations for the research described in the text, as well as citations and descriptions of related work, the endnotes now allow for a more inclusive narrative account of the issues at hand. Finally, and most significantly, I've added a seventh universal principle of social influence to the book, the principle of unity. In the chapter devoted to unity, I describe how individuals who can be convinced that a communicator shares a meaningful personal or social identity with them become remarkably more susceptible to the communicator's persuasive appeals. Introduction. I can admit it freely now. All my life I've been a patsy. For as long as I can recall, I've been an easy mark for the pitches of peddlers, fundraisers, and operators of one sort or another. True, only some have had dishonorable motives. The others, representatives of certain charitable agencies, for instance, have had the best of intentions. No matter. With personally disquieting frequency, I have always found myself in possession.